Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the JinkoSolar Holding Limited fourth quarter and full year's earnings conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There'll be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you'll need to press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference call is being recorded today, March the 3rd, 2014. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Sebastian Liu, Investor Relations Director. Please go ahead, Mr. Liu.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for JinkoSolar's fourth quarter and full year 2013 earnings conference call. The company's results were released earlier today and available on the company's IR website at www.jinkosolar.com, as well as on the Newswire services. We have also provided a supplemental presentation for today's conference call, which can also be found on IR's website. On the call today from JinkoSolar are Mr. Chen Kangping, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Arturo Herrero, Chief Strategy Officer, and Mr. Zhang Longgen, Chief Financial Officer. Mr. Chen will discuss Jinko's business operations and company's highlights, followed by Mr. Herrero, who will talk about the company's business and market strategies, and Mr. Zhang, who will go through the financials and guidance. They will all be available to answer your questions during the Q&A session that follows. Please note that today's discussion will contain forward-looking statements made under the safe harbor provisions of the U.S. Private Security Litigation Reform Act of 1995. Forward-looking statements involve inherent risks and uncertainties. As such, our future result may be materially different from the views expressed today. Further information regarding this and other risks is included in JinkoSolar's public filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. Jinko does not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements except as required under the applicable law. Please also note that notes to supplement its consolidated financial results presented in accordance with the United States General Accepted Accounting Principles or GAAP, Jinko uses certain non-GAAP financial numbers. The company believes that the use of non-GAAP information is useful for analysts and investors to evaluate Jinko's current and future performances based on a more meaningful comparison of the net income and diluted net income per ADS when compared with its peers and historical results from prior periods. These measures are not intended to represent or substitute numbers as measured under GAAP. The submission of non-GAAP numbers is voluntary and should be reviewed together with GAAP results. It is now my pleasure to introduce Mr. Chen Kangping, CEO of JinkoSolar. Mr. Chen will speak in Mandarin, and I will translate his comments into English. Please go ahead, Mr. Chen.
谢谢Sara, 各位早上晚上好, 感谢大家参加今天的电话会议。
Thank you, Sebastian. Good morning and good evening to everyone. Thank you for joining us today.
我很自豪地向大家宣布, 公司第四季度再一次取得了强劲的业绩表现。 在制造业务和电站业务均打下扎实的基础，这也是公司连续第三个季度实现盈利。公司在上一季度就已经实现了全年盈利的目标，但我们并没有因此放缓脚步，而是在本季度追求更高的全年业绩。本季度公司进一步削减了成本并扩大了销售，毛利率达到领先行业水平的 24.7%。 2013年通过创历史新高的近2个G瓦全年产品出货量，以及来自于下游业务的新收入来源，我们以为自己设立了更高的目标。
Having recorded our third straight quarter of profitability, I'm proud to report another strong performance as we continue to focus on building our manufacturing and downstream business. From the third quarter, we delivered our promise to achieve net profitability for the entire year. We close out 2013 on an even stronger footing by further cutting costs and improving our gross margin for the fourth quarter to an industry-leading 24.7%. With total product shipments for the year reaching an all-time high of approximately 2 gigawatts and a new revenue stream from our rapidly expanding downstream business, we have only increased our ambitions.
公司继续推进令人激动的下游业务发展，坚持从传统制造商向一站式能源解决方案提供商的转型。本季度 我们顺利完成了新疆和甘肃两省五个太阳能电站项目，总计108兆瓦的并网发电。截至2013年底，公司共有213兆瓦太阳能电站项目并网发电，成功完成了2013年的既定目标，坐拥超过700兆瓦地面电站项目储备和超过400兆瓦分布式光伏系统项目储备。公司计划2014年建设并网400兆瓦以上的光伏电站项目。
One of the more exciting developments continue to be our aggressive expansion downstream and the substantial amount of our resource we are devoting towards our transformation into a one-stop energy solution provider. During the quarter, we successfully connected 108 megawatts worth of solar PV projects to the grid through 5 projects in China, Xinjiang, Uyghur Autonomous Regions, and Gansu Province. We have now connected more than 213 megawatts to the grid as December 31st, 2013, allowing us to hit our 2013 target. Currently, we are busy preparing for more than 400 megawatts in projects we have earmarked for 2014, as well as a total project pipeline, which consists of more than 700 megawatts in utility scale and more than 400 megawatts in distributed system.
国家能源局发布的最新指导显示，2014年国内太阳能装机目标为14吉瓦，并已细分到各省。同时，地方政府对于太阳能的大力支持和浓厚兴趣，也使我们深信中国对太阳能发电的需求将继续增长。中国的环境问题已持续成为新闻焦点。作为解决方案的清洁能源，尤其是太阳能发电已备受瞩目，且未来增长空间十分广阔。公司已做好充分准备，把握下游的机遇，将与公司下游业务毛利率和净利润率分别超过60%和30%，公司董事会已批准对下游光伏电站项目进行战略选择的研究。
China National Energy Administration officially released a new 14 gigawatt installation target for 2014, and the target is further subdivided among China's various provinces and regions. This, along with the strong interest and support we have seen from local governments in China,give us a great confidence that the demand for solar energy in China will continue to grow. China's environmental problems continue to make headlines, putting clean energy, and in particular solar energy, in a very strong position for future growth. We're extremely well positioned to capitalize on these opportunities and directly benefit our project business, which yield growth and net margin that exceed 16% and 30% respectively. It is with this in mind,that our board of directors recently authorized the exploration of strategic alternatives to our downstream business.
全球光伏市场也继续保持增长势头。我们预计2014年的全球市场规模将达到45吉瓦以上。公司在美国和日本等重要市场的订单不断增加的同时，继续在中国、欧洲及南非地区保持既有优势。这使得公司销售的地域分布更为均衡并具有持续性。公司充分利用在国内的领先地位和四季度的抢装机遇，在更好的付款条件和更高的组件价格下，实现了国内出货量的新高。Atolo会在稍后和大家分享更加详细的销售分布情况，但我想要强调的是，尽管公司在中国市场取得了巨大成功，我们也不会过分依赖单一市场而减缓公司市场多元化的进程。近期通过接管运营尖山光电的制造设备，公司扩展了产能，这将帮助我们满足市场的强劲需求，并进一步提高了公司生产垂直一体化的程度。
The global market continued to gain momentum in what we anticipate will become a 45 gigawatt or above market this year.With our share of orders growing steadily in important markets such as the US and Japan, and maintaining our established advantages in China, Europe, and South Africa, we managed to make our geographic mix more balanced and sustainable. We continue to leverage our leadership role in China, where we have seen good payment terms and better prices as we ship record high volumes, especially during the fourth quarter rush of installations. I'd like Arturo to go over our geographic sales in more detail, but I want to reiterate that even with the success we have seen in China, we won't become overly reliant on one market or let that success in China cloud or slow our drive to diversify. We recently increased our capacity by beginning to operate top-point manufacturing assets, which will help us meet the growing demand and further increase our vertical integration.
在技术方面，公司在四季度完成了拥有近100名技术人员的新研发中心的建设。同时，我们不懈地在技术创新领域迈进，包括高效电池技术、超解抗 PID 技术、在日本 PV 展会发布的新系列智能组件，以及即将量产的 Eagle 二代组件。公司有信心，通过不断的技术创新，保持行业的领先地位。
On the technology front, we established a new R&D center during the quarter with a team of approximately 100 talented employees, which will help us maintain our technological edge. Having already innovated new solar products such as our next generation high efficiency cells, super PID free technology, the smart module we recently unveiled at the PV Expo in Japan, and soon to begin mass production Eagle 2 modules, we are determined to maintain our technological leadership position.
公司通过一月份同时增发 ADS 和可转债，募集了约$2.72亿的资金，进一步补充了项目投资和生产所需的运营资本和现金储备。我相信，这将为公司带来长期的可持续的资本回报。凭借又一个表现优异的季度和2013年的完美收官，以及来自资本市场和终端客户对公司发展的信心，我们将加倍努力来巩固自己在行业的领先地位。我们也期待公司在下游业务扩展、光伏技术、客户关系、成本结构以及品牌价值多方位的投入，将为公司带来持续稳定的发展。
We raised approximately $272 million in net proceeds during the quarter from the concurrent offering of ADSs and convertible senior notes. The proceeds will be used to supplement the working capital needed for project investment and manufacturing. I'm confident that we will see sustainable and long-term return on this capital. With another strong quarter behind us and a solid finish to the year, the vote of confidence in us by both investors and customers has further energized our ambitions to build our position as one of the global leaders in the solar PV industry. We also look forward to leveraging our investments we made in our downstream expansion, technology, client relationship, cost structure, and broad equity to drive future growth.
Arturo 将进一步向大家介绍公司第四季度在销售和市场方面的主要成绩，以及2014年第一季度公司在主要国家与地区的战略与市场前景。
Arturo Herrero, our Chief Strategy Officer, will now discuss our major achievements in sales and marketing for the fourth quarter in further detail, as well as our strategy and market outlook for the first quarter in key countries and regions.
谢谢。
Thank you.
谢谢你。谢谢你，建中。Thank you very much. Thank you to all of you. Q4 2013 has been an exciting quarter for the PV industry as we continue to see both challenges and opportunities. In several countries, there have been drastic reductions and even outright cancellations of subsidies for the renewable energy. The implementation of the strong anti-dumping measures continues to negatively impact profits for large-scale projects in Europe, which consequently reduces demand and attractiveness for the solar projects. However, fortunately, in some of the important countries that have been continuing to adopt initiatives to support solar, demand has been growing rapidly since 2013. Countries such as China, Japan, India, USA, South Africa are good examples. We are also excited to see the cost of solar power reaching grid parity, where solar electricity can now compete openly in the spot market with the conventional sources of power generation. This has been triggering demand in new and emerging PV markets such as Chile and Mexico. Both the consolidation of supply and increase in demand have helped the global PV market to reach balance. I think we are seeing right now the final days of global oversupply as module prices recover and margins increase. For JinkoSolar, this downturn has provided a unique opportunity to differentiate ourselves in front of our competitors, and our strategy has been solidifying and positioning JinkoSolar as a global leader. We continue our efforts to transform into a one-stop energy solution provider. We also continue to pursue a wide geographic mix diversification, giving us balance and sustainable growth. We are increasingly flexible and lean, allowing us to move rapidly and gain a first-mover advantage in a number of countries. We are shifting resources from countries where demand is shrinking and investing them in markets where we expect strong growth. At the same time, the improvement in JinkoSolar's brand awareness is supported by banks and well-recognized customers. This is a testament to our high-quality models, continuous improvements in technology, good customer service, and dedication to our international and local teams that are already established in most of the important PV markets. This has contributed to the growth in our revenues, demand, and average selling price. Regarding the markets, according to the analysis based on several well-recognized resources, the European PV market in 2013 decreased, falling from 17 gigawatts to approximately 10 to 11 in 2013. Against this background, we have adapted our business through market diversification and expansion into new and emerging PV markets. We have successfully reduced our exposure to the European market and are now much more focused in promising PV markets such as China, USA, Japan, South Africa, India, and countries in Latin America. During the fourth quarter, we continued to diversify our customer base, entering into utility-scale projects, commercial and residential power generation. We have kept good relationships with our major customers that, despite the struggling of the situation in the market, they have been entering also strong developments in new emerging markets. By the end of 2013, we had a strong commercial relationship with over 200 clients in more than 35 countries. During Q4, we improved our sales and deliveries across the range of markets. We continue to excel in China and leverage a leading position to take advantage of the rush for orders during the quarter. As planned, by the end of December 2013, we had connected 213 megawatts worth of solar projects to the grid. China has targeted for this year 14 gigawatts, and we are very proud to become the market leader in terms of shipments and market share. And our downstream business has become more promising following the Chinese government's strong and sustainable support to the renewable energies. As a result, we expect to connect more than 400 megawatts this year with the support of major financial partners such as China Development Bank. We have expanded our business with new contracts in Japan, India, South Africa, and Latin American countries. We are becoming more and more diversified as we develop new markets with a clear long-term strategic approach. In Asia, for example, we ship over 60 megawatts in Q4, representing for the whole year approximately 300 megawatts, mainly to Japan, India, and Australia. Shipments to Japan look promising also this year, thanks to the booming market and our strong focus on this market. We are one of the first Chinese solar PV companies to have obtained both JISQ 8901, the certification, and JPEG, that is also important certification for the residential and utility scale projects. In Q4, we have also important market has been the USA, where we ship over 90 megawatts in the second half of the year, while the countervailing anti-dumping investigation brings with it uncertainties. We are very confident about the great future potential in the U.S. and our ever-growing market share. In South Africa, we signed over 300 megawatts for the first round, two, and second round. We are very close to signing another contract, so it will be representing 40% of the market share for the first two rounds. These volumes include 94 megawatts for a project with Acciona, our partner, as part of the large five-year strategic contract that we signed with them for over 170 megawatts last year. With respect to South Africa, we shipped 50 megawatts in Q4, bringing the total for the year of over 180. This comes under our contract to deliver a total of 300 megawatts between round two and round second of the public tender, reaching like this over 30 to 40 market shares. We have also made good progress in South American countries during 2013. We established legal entities in Chile and Brazil. Following our localization strategy, we are now increasing our local teams and establishing physical presence in more than 19 countries. With our partner Solar Direct, we established the first 1.4 megawatt project for a mine in Chile, and we supplied PV modules for the rooftop projects in Pepsi installation in Honduras. Most important is the contract awarded by ENO to Jinko Solar for 60 megawatts that will be started during the second and third quarter in 2014. In Q4, total solar product shipments were 586 megawatts, a new record for Jinko, consisting of 7 megawatts in wafers, 45 megawatts in cells, and 535 megawatts in modules. It represents an increase of 13% from Q3 and almost double from last year, 2012. Regarding marketing, we have increased our global footprint and brand recognition, thanks also to our marketing events worldwide and localized marketing major activities. Solar Plaza and Solar PV TV has been good partners for Jinko Solar to make successful story in our communication strategy. During Q4, we placed advertisements in Times Square in Manhattan, New York for Christmas, and in the main railway station across China. These are good examples of branding and awareness campaigns to help and expand public knowledge regarding renewable energies. We have been attending conferences and testing the market in the Middle East with our meetings in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and Kuwait recently, where we see important goals for renewable energy and a huge potential in the next coming years. And we are currently attending, in last week, the Japan exhibition in Tokyo, where we launch our smart modules that integrates microinverters and optimizers. They are key for residential markets and also suitable for utility scale projects. We have been in exhibitions in the USA, in Bangladesh, in Canada, and in Romania, attending Solar Power International, Solar Power UK, REN Expo, 10th Power and Solar Canada during Q4 last year. Regarding ASP, throughout the year, thanks to our focus on countries with higher government support and margins, such as Japan, South Africa, and the USA, our ASP has been improved. In China also, we have seen improvement, and this increase on ASP is a reflection of a better brand recognition, higher quality, better communication, branding, and recovery in demand in the whole market. Model ASP increased through the year as well to $0.62, and we expect ASPs in 2014 to be stable. We are in a strong position to maintain growth as a result of several important agreements with a strategic partner for 2014. We have built credibility with our customers, with our excellent service and reliability, as well as a high quality solar products, mainly thanks to the support from our vertical integration strategy. Our bankability places us at an advantage in front of our competitors, and we have the ability to supply PV products for future products and large PV systems in a very hard conditions, thanks to our PID-free modules. Now, I would like to turn the call over to Sam, our CFO, who will introduce our financial results and guidance for the first quarter and year 2014. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Arthur. Good morning and good evening to everyone on the call. First, I would like to walk you through our financial results for the fourth quarter and the full year 2013, followed by the first quarter and full year 2014 guidance. As Mr. Chen mentioned earlier, total solar product shipments in the fourth quarter of 2013 were 586.3 megawatts. Total revenues in the fourth quarter of 2013 were $361.4 million, an increase of 11.5% sequentially, and an increase of 87.5% year over year. Gross margin was 24.7% in the fourth quarter of 2013, compared with 22.3% in the third quarter of 2013 and 3.8% in the fourth quarter of 2012. The sequential increase in gross margins was primarily attributable to the further non-silicon cost reduction. The year-over-year increase in gross margin was mainly due to improvements in operating efficiency and continued cost reductions for the company's polysilicon and auxiliary materials, improved ASPs, and the higher gross margin from the electricity revenues. In-house gross margin relating to in-house silicon wafer, solar cell, and solar module production was 24.3% in the fourth quarter of 2013, compared with 20.6% in the third quarter of 2013 and 5.6% in the fourth quarter of 2012. Income from operations in the fourth quarter of 2013 was $43.3 million, compared with income from operations of $39.9 million in the third quarter of 2013, and loss from operations of $117.8 million in the fourth quarter of 2012. Total operating expenses in the fourth quarter of 2013 were $46 million, an increase of 44.1% sequentially, and a decrease of 64.2% year-over-year. The sequential increase was primarily due to reversal of provisions for bad debt in the third quarter of 2013, which was recognized as a reduction of G&A expense, and an increase in research and development expenses. Share-based compensation and shipping and warranty cost resulting from the increase in solar module shipments. The year-over-year decrease in operating expenses was mainly due to the significant non-cash charge in the fourth quarter of 2012, consisting of provision for bad debts, an impairment of long-lived assets, a write-off for equipment prepayment, and a provision for the inventory purchase prepayment on a long-term polysilicon supply contract. Total operating expenses, excluding non-cash charges, as a percentage of total net revenues were 12.3% in the fourth quarter of 2013, compared to 11.3% in the third quarter of 2013 and 18.1% in the fourth quarter of 2012. Operating margin in the fourth quarter of 2013 was a positive 12%, compared with positive 12.4% in the third quarter of 2013, and a negative 62.9% in the fourth quarter of last year. Net interest expense in the fourth quarter of 2013 was $8.8 million, a decrease of 5.2% sequentially and a decrease of 5.2% year-over-year. We recorded an exchange gain of $1.5 million in the fourth quarter of 2013, primarily due to a foreign currency exchange loss of $1.1 million and a gain in fair value of forward contracts of $2.6 million. We recognized a loss of $8.6 million in change in fair value of convertible senior notes and cap call options. The company recognized an income tax expense in the fourth quarter of 2013 of approximately $0.06 million, compared with a tax expense of approximately $3 million in the third quarter of 2013 and an income tax expense of approximately $0.01 million during the fourth quarter of 2012. Net income in the fourth quarter of 2013 was $27.1 million, compared with a net income of $16.9 million in the third quarter of 2013 and a net loss of $122.2 million in the fourth quarter of 2012. This translates into basic and diluted earnings per ADS of 100 cents and 96 cents, respectively. Non-GAAP net income in the fourth quarter of 2013 was $36.1 million, compared with non-GAAP net income of $32.2 million in the third quarter of 2013, and a non-GAAP net loss of 112.3 million in the fourth quarter of 2012. This translates into non-GAAP basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $1.36 and $1.28 respectively. Now, I will briefly review our full-year 2013 financial results. Total revenues for the full-year 2013 were $1.17 billion U.S. dollars, an increase of 47.6% from $769.6 million in 2012. Income from operations for the full-year 2013 was $106.6 million U.S. dollars, compared with a loss from operations of $198 million for the full year 2012. Operating margin for the full year 2013 was positive 9.1%, compared with a negative 25.7% for the full year 2012. Total operating expenses in 2013 were $130.8 million, a decrease of 46% from $235.3 million in 2012. Operating expenses represented 11.2% of total revenue for the full year 2013, compared to 30.6% for the full year 2012. The company recognized a tax expenses of $3.1 million for the full year 2013, compared to a tax benefit of $1.4 million in 2012. Net income for the full year 2013 was $31.1 million U.S. dollars, compared with a net loss of $247.6 million in 2012. This translates into basic and diluted earnings per ADS of $1.32 and $1.28 respectively. Non-GAAP net income in 2013 was $68.4 million U.S. dollars, compared with non-GAAP net loss of $227.2 million in 2012. This translates into non-GAAP basic and diluted income per ADS of $2.92 and $2.84 respectively. I would now like to take a quick look at our balance sheet. As of December 31st, 2013, the company had $141.2 million U.S. dollars in cash and cash equivalents and restricted cash. As of December 31st, 2013, total short-term borrowings, including the current portion of long-term bank borrowings, were $326.2 million compared with $360.4 million as of December 31st, 2012. Total long-term borrowings were $59.8 million as of December 31st, 2013, compared with $26.8 million as of December 31st, 2012. As of December 31st, 2013, the company working capital deficit was negative U.S. $312.9 million, compared with a deficit of $361.6 million as of December 31st, 2013. I think at the end of the year 2013, the working capital negative, the major cost is the CD, you know, move to current liability, and also the, you know, around the $230 million U.S. dollars invested in the downstream project. For the first quarter of 2014, total solar module shipments were expected to be between 440 megawatts and 470 megawatts. For the full year 2014, total solar module shipments are expected to be in the range 2.3 gigawatts to 2.5 gigawatts, with total project development scale expected to be about 400. That means we have to, you know, manufacturing, you know, between the module between 2.7 gigawatts to 2.9 gigawatts. At this moment, we are happy to take your questions. Operator.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by the number one on your telephone keypad, and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star followed by the number two. Your first question comes from Philip Sheng Roth Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, congrats on the continuing good progress with execution.
Thank you.
I'd like to start by asking just a few questions on the top line assets. Can you give us an update as to when you expect to officially take ownership of the assets? And can you let us know how much you acquired the assets for? And what is the non-silicon cost structure of these assets?
I think, Philip, it's a good question about the top point assets.
Okay, according to Chinese, I think the local law, basically, you know, the top, you know, point assets is recalled like U.S. Chapter 11. The only thing that's different is, you know, in China, you have to first lease the equipment, you know, the assets for the assets running in on the lease term, 3 months to 6 months, and waiting for a quarter to working with all the debt. So basically right now, we're already starting leasing, you know, operating the assets right now currently. The assets, as we mentioned last time, we're on the roadshow, I think is around 500 megawatts on the wafer and cell, and the module is 100 megawatts. And basically, I think finally, you know, we will assume the liability. Total, I think, cost will be around, you know, one third of, you know, the replacement cost, new one. So is that answer your question?
Yeah. Do you have a sense for when you will officially take ownership and you will stop leasing?
I think that is around 3 months to 6 months. It's all based on the negotiation of the court, you know, with the, I think, the debt, you know. So basically, I think we also want to close in deal, you know, as soon as possible, 3 months. So basically right now, I think within 3 to 6 months, I think we'll be there.
Okay, great. And then...
Then also just further, I think the total cost may be around, you know, 800 to 900 million, I think, RMB yuan, you know. But that's, you know, just estimate, the range.
Okay. And as we look ahead to 2014 and even beyond, you know, how do you think about capacity expansion? Do you want to always do it in a fully vertically integrated way? Or and how much do you want to expand by in 14 and 15?
Basically, I think if you look at our guidance for whole this year, our module shipments is around 2.3 gigawatts, 2.5 gigawatts. Plus, we have to also supply the modules for our own projects, around 400 megawatts. So it's almost, you know, I think 2.7 to 2.9 gigawatts, you know, for the output, you see, the guidance we've given out. So we're always looking forward because by kind of right now, I think we have capacity. I think Weaver module is around 2.3 gigawatts because, you know, partial is top points, you know, 500, then plus our own, I think more efficiently we increase so we can, you know, touch to 2.3 gigawatts on the Weaver and cell. And the module is around 2.5 gigawatts. So basically, we will continue to keep an eye on the opportunities, you know, in China, the distressed assets, and to looking for opportunities and seeking for that kind of assets, you know, so we can, you know, synergize those assets, you know, at a lower cost, and continue to reduce our, I think, non-silicon costs, then to increase our scale.
Okay, great. One more question. I'll jump back in queue. You know, what's your view on the latest U.S.-China trade case? You know, where we're hearing the you know, what is the probability that this a solution is developed to avoid tariffs? And we're actually hearing that there could be a retroactive tariff, and modules must clear customs by called end of March. Are you guys, you know, do you guys continue to ship into the U.S.? And what do you see happening to U.S. ASPs? Thanks.
I think maybe, you know, I'll answer the question first. I think maybe, you know, I think Arthur or, you know, other, you know, management team can be, you know, more common. Basically, you know, for Jinko, we're still very optimism on the U.S. and China, the trading issue, you know, be solved, I think, smoothly.
And based on the history, we do not think, you know, retroactive is the scenario will happen. Second is, you know, we think it's in the right direction right now to solve the issue. For example, you know, to charge, I think to pay the, you know, the pouvoir, the cents to the funds, then to refund, I think, the U.S. manufacturer, or like a minimum quarters. All these, I think, solution is a very positive sign, I think, for the future, I think, the trading between U.S. and China. Because this issue is not only the solar product, it's the whole relationship, you know, trading relationship, you know, between the two countries, I think. These governments is paying more attention to that, so that's why we believe it's very positive right now that issue will be solved. So for Jinko, we still continue, I think, you know, to increase the market in the U.S. Market, you see. We are continuing to shipping, you see. So we think Jinko, as you know that, our market, I think, geographic mixture exposure to U.S. is not too much. It's a small portion. So basically, it's not affecting us too much.
Okay. Thank you, Sam, and the rest of the management team. I'll jump back in queue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Brandon Haken from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead, sir.
Thanks for taking the question, and congratulations.
Thank you, Brandon.
I just wanted to double-check that the 400 megawatts of project guided for this year, that's an increase from what would have been a 300 megawatts roughly of incremental projects in previous guidance. I think before you've said 500 megawatts of cumulative projects. Is that right?
Yeah, I think what we're doing is we finished, I think, 230 megawatts by the end of last year. So this year, we're giving guidance, I think, you know, last time on the road, we by the end of this year, definitely we will connect at least 300 megawatts, you know, additional. So then 100 megawatts is under construction. That's our, you know, guidance right now so far. But, you know, it's possible, I think, you know, because I think, you know, the marketing situation and the cash flow situation, and it's possible we'll maybe, you know, increase or even stimulate, you see, the scale in the future.
Okay, great. And what are your thoughts on the potential IPO of the project business or a YieldCo maybe later this year or next year?
Basically, right now we're still working on, you know, some big, I think, you know, potential, I think, strategic partner, you know, together. I think that, I think, you know, certain time we will come out. We're very optimistic right now, the processing right now. So if that works, I think, you know, it will be help us to, I think, you know, accelerated, I think, our continue to expansion on the downstream products. And also, I think, to carve out our downstream projects to IPO. So the board is already given, I think, you know, the resolution, gave the resolution to IPO. So we believe the earliest, you know, the timing schedule is, you know, end of this year, beginning of next year, either in U.S. market or in the Hong Kong market.
Okay, great. And for the 2.7 to 2.9 gigawatts of production this year, can you do that with your existing assets and with the 2-point assets, or do you need to do some outsourcing? How do you produce that much?
If without, you know, continue to expansion our capacity on the wave and fail segment, I think definitely, I think we still have time to looking for, you know, some good assets, you know, to expansion. But definitely, I think we will build up, increase our module capacity, you know, by the end of this year, maybe to 3 gigawatts to 3.5 gigawatts.
Okay.
Capacity at the end of this year, yeah, the module side. But to the wave and sail, we're very, I think, cautious.
Great. Great. Well, congratulations and thank you.
Yeah.
The next question comes from Amish Shah from Nomura. Please go ahead, sir.
Hello.
Mr. Shah is just disconnected. The next question is from Gordon Johnson from Annex Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call or question.
Thank you.
Thank you. Can you guys talk a little bit about the mix of your shipments by country for this year? And also, can you talk about if the shipments are back-end loaded, or if you expect them to be more linear?
Okay, basically, I think you want me, I'll give you some history figure, then, you know, I think Arthur maybe give you some in the future, 2014 estimate, but it's, I think in 2013, basically, we shipped to China is around 49%. Asia Pacific is 22%, and Europe is 12%, and, you know, emerging market is 10%, and North America is 7%. We are going to forecast in 2014 to China is around 35 to 40%. I think Asian Pacific country is 20 to 25%, and Europe is 12 to 15%, and emerging market is 10%, and North America is 12 to 15%. Arthur, you have any comments?
Yeah, well, we will see how it's the evolution during the year 2014. We are focusing a lot in and expecting a lot from USA and Asia Pacific, but also there is some expectations from South America countries and emerging markets that is difficult to forecast, to be honest. So we are planning something between 300 megawatt to 400 megawatt only for these emerging markets. And then for Asia Pacific, around also another 400 megawatts, and U.S. could be also in the level of 300 megawatts if there is no surprise with the anti-dumping news. So overall, this is a quite balanced mix.
Okay, that's helpful. And can you talk about the linearity of your shipments with respect to the first half and second half? Do you expect the bulk to happen in the second half?
You mean 2014?
For, yes.
For the first half of 2014? Yeah, probably the mix is still more in for the Q1 and Q2, mainly U.S. and South African markets will take still remaining contracts already signed. And then for the second half, it will be mainly Asia-Pacific markets and probably something coming also from big contracts in Japan and U.S.
Okay, and then I just want to be clear on this. With respect to the capacity additions, it sounded like you guys are saying that the bulk of that is going to be via acquisition and not necessarily, buying new equipment to build out existing capacity. I guess one question, is that right? Is the assumption there right that I'm making? And also, can you talk about what your current CapEx per watt is of the new capacity you're going to add?
You mean the CapEx on the new capacity?
Yes.
Okay, basically, I think what today, if you want to increase, you know, per watt, you know, from I think, you know, wafer cell to module, it's around 50 cents, the cost, okay, for the new equipment. And Jinko, for the, you know, the top point, and, you know, we will be maybe pay, you know, one-third of that. So as of today, just I mentioned that, we have capacity on the wafer cell is around 2.3 gigawatts. And the module is around 2.5 gigawatts. And we were continue looking for some assets, you know, opportunities. But meantime, you know, as you know that, we also have to, you know, possible, you see, outsourcing some, you know, the wafer and the cell and, you know, the manufacturing, the module. So basically, the module capacity, we're by the end of this year, we definitely will be increased to 3 gigawatts or 3.5 gigawatts.
Okay, and that module increase, is that going to be via acquisition of distressed assets existing in China, or is that going to be new greenfield capacity expansion at Jinko?
Basically, you know, to increase the capacity on the module side is not cost too much. So basically, we will depend on our own to increase that. Because, you know, unless the automatic machine, you see, the CapEx is more. But the major production line, if manually, I think the semi, you know, automatic, so it's way cheaper.
Okay. And then last question. It looks like, you know, clearly there's been an increase in polysilicon prices, at least via the available avenues we have to check. And it looks like module prices have been flat to down if you're looking at some of these different reporting sites. What are you guys seeing there? Are you seeing poly prices rising right now? And when do you expect that to stop, or do you think that's going to continue to be a risk over the near term for you? Thanks for the question.
That's a good question. You see, a lot of people is, you know, right now thinking the poly price. Yes, the poly price, you know, during the December, during the January, February, is go up slightly, you know, to 22
21, 23, but in this month, I think it go down to, you know, to 21, 22 from 23, the peak. So in Jinko, if you see that in Q4, we still, the cost is around $18, is 9 cents per watt. So Q1 definitely will increase a little, I think around 1.5 cents you know, per watt on the silicon cost. But, you know, to answer your question, you know, we do not think the poly price will jump in, you know, above $25. That's you know, basically, you know, we think, you know, right now, you know, DQ, their Xinjiang new plant, you see, the cost is around $11. And Tebian, another Chinese producer, also cost is around $12-$13. And GCL, they claim, I think, you know, their cash cost even, you know, below $10. So all these right now, the I think the Chinese producer is there. So think about that. If the poly price continue keeping above $20, I think the profitability is too a lot, is much. So the capacity definitely will increase, you know, in China. Then also look overall, the polysilicon capacity right now, I think supply, the standard figure maybe around, I think, 270,000 tons there. So that's, it's easy to support around, you know, more than 60 gigawatts. Of course, you know, some capacity right now, maybe cost is higher, so they maybe, you know, it's not fully running. But, you know, the existing capacity do, I think, enough to supply right now the poly to the market. So I do not think the poly price will go above $25.
Okay, thanks a lot.
The next question comes from John Fick from Dialectic Capital Management. Please go ahead, sir.
Good quarter. Just one clarification on the previous question. Is the new capacity that you're adding greenfield, or do you think you'll acquire it?
The new capacity major, we were not going to add a new capacity on the waiver to, you know, greenfield, you know, add a waiver and a sale. We definitely would not do anything. You know, even module we're not, because the module existing plant, you see, we already have, you know, the building and the plant, so it's easier for us to increase the module capacity. You know, I think it's cost not much, because the increase 100 megawatts on the module side, you maybe invest capex around $5 million to, you know, to $8 million, so it's not too much. So definitely, you know, we are continue looking for distressed assets, you know, on the waiver and the sale segments, like you know, Top Point. So we're just going to pay one third or even 25%, you know, the replacement cost, you see. So I think that's our target.
Okay.
And we think the opportunity is there.
And on the electricity-producing, power-producing revenue, is the government paying, are you receiving the cash flow for those, or is it still just an agreement and we're still waiting to get the payments for those?
Now, basically all the revenue we recognize is already, we have the agreements and the state grids already, I think, you know, connected, they receive the power we generated, okay? So we already issued the invoice to them. So they are, you know, we're eligible, those accounts receivable. And right now, the country, you see, we all receive all the arena accounts receivable. By the end of 2012, we already paid, the government's already paid to us. So starting the January 1st, 2013, based on the new government's regulations, I think they should pay bi-monthly, okay? But right now, I think, you know, it's a little delay, but we think, you know, the payments will be around 3 months to 6 months in the future.
Okay. And what was your cash flow for 2013, and what do you think your operating cash flow will be for 2014?
Okay, the cash flow 2013, because we're starting to make money on the second quarter. So the total operating cash from, you know, the operation side is $35 million in 2013. But I think in 2014, definitely for whole year, we didn't have the, you know, the forecast, okay? But basically right now, I think it should be, you know, we estimate it should be, you know, around $150 million U.S. dollars. You know, around 100, let's give you a range, 100 to 200 million.
Okay. And you paid down bank lines in Q3 in China. Was there a reason you paid down those bank lines? Are the banks requiring you to pay back the bank loans now, or Is that voluntary, and what is the lending situation like in China today?
Okay, basically, I think this is a good question. You know, how, why Jinko become, become step by step, the major player in China. The reason is because, a lot of companies in this consolidation, in industry consolidation, you can see LDK, Soundtech, and go to, we call reconstruction or whatever, bankruptcy. I think some companies feel, frustration. The reason is because the industry, the gross margin, the average is still around, 13 to 15%. Jinko can achieve, better 5 to 8% above the industry. So the banking, the government see that. So that's why you can see that CDB, continue to support us to go to downstream projects to, feed us the loans. Also, other banking like industrial ICBC and the Agriculture Bank of China and the Bank of China, all those state banks, they actually tighten, the solar, manufacturing companies, but open the door to the major player, the future player. So like Jinko, as of December 31st, 2013, those banking give us credit line is $700 million. We only withdraw right now $446 million. So we still have $253 million, available. As you can see that in the first quarter, the CDB also awarded us around $3.3 billion RMB loan to 15 years to our downstream projects for 15 years, the projects loan. That's beside that credit line. Today, you see, the banking loan, our short term is around 5.4%. Long term is around 6.9%. So we still think, with the banking support, Jinko will become, the top three players. I think that's the advantage for Jinko, because a lot of people don't understand what's going on in China on the banking, scenario.
But so CDB extended loans, but the other banks called their loans? Why were you paying down those
CDB
banks?
CDB is not extended. CDB has given us, awarded us the new loans to continue to support us downstream projects. So in Q, as you can see that, in Q1, they awarded us $3.3 billion on the project side, the loans. But for other banks, we have credit line $700 million. The credit lines, you see. What do in China, because the banking loans usually is short term, you borrow 1 year. So after 1 year mature, you have to pay back, then you can renew. Jinko always no problem, we can continue to extend or renew our loans. But other, player may be difficult. You see what I'm talking?
Yes, but you paid down your loans, so you did. You chose not to renew them?
Yeah, because we have the cash, you see. We needed to withdraw the credit lines. Why we need to, on one side we have a lot of cash sitting there, then another side we go ahead, borrow a lot of loans. It's meaningless to us because we can withdraw a loan any time, you see. For the cash management purpose, you see, we needn't keep the high cash balance because that's the cost. That's exactly, look at Jinko, the interest expenses. It's around $800 million, account for revenue, only 3%. That's in the whole industry right now, in the, the Chinese manufacturing company. I think Jinko is the top one. I think the interest expenses, account for revenue, is the lowest. I think the percentage is lower. If you look at Yingli, it's one of the company. Okay, you can look at how much percentage they own. They are around 6 and 7%. Is that answer your question, John?
Yes, thank you.
The next question comes from Paul Stringler, Esplanade Capital. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, great quarter. Just following up quickly on Gordon's question. You guys didn't comment on Q1 ASPs or Q1 margins. Can you just sort of maybe provide a little direction there?
Okay, basically, if you look at our Q4, our ASP is around 63 cents. Our non-silicon cost is 39 cents. And plus the silicon cost 9 cents is around 48 cents. We achieve, excellent quarter in Q4. In Q1, I'm not giving guidance to you, But we believe, I think the ASP, you know, because, you know, geographically, you know, our mixture selling, and we were selling, you know, more percentage, I think, in U.S. market. So we do not think the ASP will go down, I think, you know. And for the cost side, yes, I think silicon cost maybe go up a little, but we continue can improve on the non-silicon cost side. So basically, we're very optimism, I think, on our gross margin. But we're not given guidance to the street.
No, great. And then on retainage, when do you guys expect to actually recognize some of that? It keeps accruing on your balance sheet, but when do you think you can actually start to recognize some of that?
Okay, I think basically, you know, we so far we still have like a 160 million renminbi. I think, you know, we call, you know, the retainage, okay, the contract retainage. So we will recognize revenue starting, you know, Q1 as we collect those, you know, retainage, you see. So as soon as we connect those retainage, that's, as you know, actually the profit we can recognize.
Great. And then just one last question, sort of a housekeeping question. On your balance sheet, the restricted short-term investments, what are those? Is that cash-like? Can you convert that to cash? What is it?
We issue the, I think the issue the LC, we have to put some, you know, so like 10-15%. So that's the money there. It's a commercial, it's LC, I think. It's notes payable, yeah. It should also issue some notes payable. For example, you see, we buy some from supplier, we should either we pay cash, account payable, you know, or we just, you know, issue notes payable. Let's say 60 days, 90 days, you know, we pay you. But that notes payable is issued, you know, by sort of the banker. You see, the banking should have to, you know, put it like, you know, 10%, you know, deposit there.
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's all for the cash management. It's good for us because that's also we can use the banking facilities, you see. Either, let's say, you own people, you buy materials, you have to pay $100. Right now, you're not going to pay right now. You pay later, let's say 60 days, 90 days later. So you go to banking, you just put, you know, $10 there. The banking have to issue, like, you know, notes payable, or like, you know, like $100 6 months later. So it's all, that's why Jinko manages cash very well.
Gotcha.
Paul, I understand one point, that it's just restrict cash, but, you know, we put that short-term investment, we can earn more interest. That's worse.
But that money is not sitting in any of those trusts in China, right? That is sitting in pretty safe.
It's just the deposits, you know.
Gotcha. Thanks a lot, guys. Great quarter.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Wei Fang, Luminous Management. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, just one simple question on the operating expense line. Can you give us some guidance for 2014, how we think about it as a percentage of revenue, please?
I think, you know, if you look, I think that's one way. I think, you know, operating expense in Q4, definitely, you know, we are sliding up. I think we have a lot of reason because I think R&D expenses go up. And also, you know, I think employee stock option and other issues. But definitely for 2014, we will continue, I think, as the revenue continue to increase, and we will, I think, keep the operating expenses, you know, stick, you know, below 10%. That's our target.
Thank you.
Thank you. I think just one more question. Okay.
Thank you. Operator. Hello, operator?
There are no further questions. I'd now like to hand the call back to Sebastian Liu. Please go ahead.
Sure. On behalf of the entire Jinko's management team, I want to thank you for your interest and participation on this call. If you have any further questions or concerns, please feel free to contact us. So have a good day or good evening. Thank you and goodbye.